Well, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke 10, beginning verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Reading from the J.B. Phillips New Testament, as they continued their journey, Jesus came to a village, and a woman called Martha welcomed him to her house. She had a sister by the name of Mary who settled down at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was very worried about her elaborate preparations, and she burst in saying, Lord, don't you mind that my sister has left me to do everything by myself? Tell her to get up and help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, my dear, you are worried and bothered about providing so many things. Only a few things are really needed. Perhaps only one. Mary has chosen the best part, and you must not tear it away from her. Martha and Mary. Mary and Martha, sisters, and what a story it is, this piece of history. And it's in the Bible for our advantage. Jesus had come into their village, and this woman, Martha, invited him, received him into her house. Imagine Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in your presence. The Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself. When Jesus is in the house, don't miss the moment. One might even now side with Martha. But listen to what Jesus had to say, reading from the Amplified Bible. Now while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand and do her part along with me. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one, or but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen that good part. Mary has chosen the best part. Mary has chosen the good portion, which is to her advantage. Let's establish this. There is a time to be a Martha and there is a time to be a Mary. And concerning the believer, both natures are to exist. You see, Mary knew when to be Mary. And Mary knew when to be Martha. Sounds confusing? If Mary would have headed to the kitchen, if Mary would have got caught up with other things during those moments, if Mary would have been busybodying around, if Mary would have been about other things and details and conversations and workings and duties, she would have left the room. If she would have, she would have missed that good part. And Jesus said, he made it clear that she in fact did choose that good part, the best part, the good portion, which was to her advantage. Now I must for a moment share these words so that we do not judge Martha amiss. This short narrative, I suppose, might be paraphrased something after this fashion. Martha and Mary were two most excellent sisters, both converted, both lovers of Jesus, both loved by Jesus. For we are expressly told that he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They were both women of choice spirit. Our Savior's selection of their house as a frequent resort proved that they were an unusually gracious family. They are persons representative of different forms of excellence, and I think it altogether wrong to treat Martha as some have done, as if she had no love for good things and was nothing better than a mere worldling. It was not so. Martha was a most estimable and earnest woman, a true believer, and an ardent follower of Jesus, whose joy it was to entertain Jesus at the house of which she was the mistress. Here it is today. When it's time to be Mary, we best not be acting like Martha and doing like Martha. And I would say that the same is true concerning the reverse. When it's time to be Martha, we best not be acting like Mary and doing like Mary. What words? But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted. Mary, the Mary spirit, not a busybody when it's time to be at his feet. When it's time to choose that good part. Choose the better part, that he be honored and blessed and loved on and cherished. And that you don't miss out on what can only be known as a Mary in those moments, those times. Both the Martha and Mary spirit is important. However, the timing matters. Worry, busy, distracted, many things, cumbered about, concerned with other things, worried about preparations, those that can wait. Worried about elaborate preparations, but is this the time for that? You see, many miss out on the good part. Many choose the portion that is to their disadvantage. And some carry others into the same, pulling a Mary from the feet of Jesus, tearing that good part away from them. Have we not sung it in this house? Everything else can wait. I've come to seek your face. So everything else can wait. I'm here for you. I want to just be here at your feet. Just be here on my knees, here in your presence. I am complete, Jesus. You're all that I need. There's nothing I want more because nothing matters more. I'll just be here at your feet, here on my knees. Right now in this moment, you are here and there's nothing more that matters than to see you, to touch you, to feel you, to hear you now. Let every distraction fade away. Let every weight and every burden slip away here in your presence. Let your peace wash over us. Let your love wash over us. There is nothing that matters more. There is nothing we are needing more. Right now in this moment, than you. Imagine there at his feet. Hang on, Jesus, I'll be right back. I need to check on something, deal with something, talk with someone, check in with someone. Mary would have missed what Jesus had to say if she would have got up and given herself to details, joining her sister. She would have missed out on this divine encounter. You know, I can only imagine what advantage has been missed out on because of a Martha spirit when it's time to be Mary. And little would-be Marys are watching our flow. Some have led little Marys astray into Martha land. You know, sometimes the devil is in the details. Jesus told Martha what he thought of her action during that time. And he told Martha what he thought of Mary's action. And Mary heard the commendation of the Lord. And what a beautiful set of words these are. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Wow, Jesus said one thing is needful. You know, this hasn't changed. The NLT, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. God's Word translation, there is only one thing you need. Mary has made the right choice. You see, one rightly stated, our first observation will be this. The Martha spirit is very prevalent in the church of God just now. In the second place, the Martha spirit is very much injures true service. And in the third place, the Mary spirit is the source of the noblest form consecration. You know, I don't know about you, but I pray for a people, a generation of believers that know when to be Mary and when to be Martha. It's costly when one misses out on that which is to their advantage. It's tragic. It's stunting. It's halting. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, basking in his presence, drinking in his presence, looking, listening, receiving. And in that moment, she had the advantage. And because of moments like these, there is advantage. And there is advancement. And there is a setting apart. And there is an anointing. And there too is the fueling for the Martha work that is part of Christian life and service. Mary hath chosen that good part. Let's traverse time. The words of Charles Spurgeon. Martha's fruits ripened very quickly. Mary's take time. When Lazarus was dead, you will remember Martha ran to meet Christ, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha wanted her own time. Mary could take Christ's time. So after a while, just before our Lord's death, we find that Mary did a grand action. She did what Martha never thought of doing. She brought forth a box of precious ointment and poured it on the Lord's head and anointed him with ointment. While she was sitting at Christ's feet, she was forming and filling the springs of action. You are not losing time while you are feeding the soul, while by contemplation you are getting purpose strengthened and motive purified. You are rightly using time. When the man becomes intense, when he gets within him principles vital, fervent, energetic, then when the season for work comes, he will work with a power and result which empty people can never attain. However busy they may be, if the stream flows at once, as soon as ever there is a shower, it must be a little better than a trickling rivulet. But if the current stream is dammed up so that for a while nothing pours down the riverbed, you will in due time, when the waters have gathered strength, witness a torrent before which nothing can stand. Mary was filling up the fountainhead. She was listening and learning, feeding, edifying, loving, and growing strong. The engine of her soul was getting its steam ready. And when all was right, her action was prompt and forcible. Meanwhile, the manner of her action was being refined. Martha's actions were good. But if I may use the word, they were commonplace. She must make a great feed for the Lord Jesus, just as for any earthly friend. The spiritual nature of Christ she had forgotten. She was providing nothing for it. But Mary's estimate of Christ was of true order. She looked at him as a priest. She viewed him as a prophet. She adored him as a king. And she had heard him speak about dying and had listened to his testimony about suffering. And dimly guessing what it meant, she prepared the precious spikenard. Whate'er the dying should come, she might anoint him. The woman's deed was full of meaning and of instruction. It was indeed an embodied poem. The odor that filled the house was the perfume of love and elevated thought. She became refined in her actions by the process of musing and learning. Those who think not, who meditate not, who commune not with Christ will do commonplace things very well. But they will never rise to the majesty of a spiritual conception or carry out a heart-suggested work for Christ. You know, it may be that we have our own view of what is that good part. May the Lord help us to see his view on the matter. Martha had her view that day. And Martha voiced her view. The KJV, Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. The Message paraphrase, a woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the Master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do. And for her, it was in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting the Master. Don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand. You know, Martha was upset. Martha wanted action taken. Martha wanted Mary set in her place. The Voice Bible, Martha interrupting Jesus, "Lord, why don't you care that my sister is leaving me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get over here and help me." Jesus, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and concerned about a million details. But really, only one thing matters. Mary has chosen that one thing, and I won't take it away from her." Martha thought that which she was distracted with was pressing and needed her immediate attention, but you know, it wasn't the time for it. It could have waited. Martha thought that Mary was the distracted one. You know, there is, however, another type of Martha. It's the type that is restless at the feet of Jesus. The type that is uncomfortable in his presence. The type that hasn't learned how to worship and pray. The type that almost seeks a duty, a distraction, a detail that they might justify busying themselves rather than taking to the posture of Mary. I want to be like Mary. Mary knew when to be Mary, and Mary knew when to function as Martha. I'm so blessed by her actions, so blessed by her devotion, so blessed by her love for Jesus, how she sat there at his feet choosing that good part that was to her advantage. And how beautiful the time when precious ointment was poured on the Lord. Martha and Mary. Mary and Martha. You know, they had a brother. His name Lazarus. Let's drink in some scripture, feed on some scripture here this morning. John 11, beginning of verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and the sister, Martha. It was that Martha who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard," he said, "this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Have your glory, Jesus. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.'" Verses 11 to 15, "He said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.'" Well, Jesus showed up. Beginning at verse 17, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Well, we press on, verses 28 to 34. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She's going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" There is this side, one occasion where both sisters perhaps failed to choose that good part. You say, "How so?" Martha and Mary doubted. They didn't understand the delay. Hell must have hurt the Lord when Martha questioned resurrection power, or when Mary alluded to the fact that he was preoccupied, disinterested in their problem. Now, I am by no means downplaying the serious nature of the circumstance, but they knew Jesus. They knew his power. They knew how he loved them. They knew how earnestly and interested he was in them and in their affairs. Jesus loved them. David Wilkerson's words, "Jesus loved Lazarus, and he also dearly loved his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Their home was an oasis for the Master. And let it be so concerning this house and our houses." Unusually gracious families. We know Lazarus and his family loved Jesus, but the scripture is most emphatic in pointing out Christ's love for them. "He whom thou lovest is sick." Martha and Mary and Martha united serve to show a beautiful picture of how we as believers are to flow. Mary, when it's time to be Mary. Martha, when it's time to be Martha. And yet, even one flowing in right order must take heed that when tragic circumstances, trying circumstances, hard circumstances, seemingly impossible circumstances rear their head, that we do not fail to choose that good part. Oh, we've sat at his feet when it's been time to, and we've served when it's been time to. We know his love for us, his care and concern. May we learn from the story of Lazarus, and may we never hurt or pain Jesus. He cares. And he is full of resurrection power, and he is occupied with and interested in our problems. Even if according to human understanding and time frames and so on, we can't see it. D.L. Moody said these words, "A great many people wonder why it was that Christ did not come at once to Martha and Mary, whom he loved, whenever he heard of their affliction. It was to try them." And it is the same with his dealings toward us. If he seems not to come to us in our affliction, it is only to test us. You can have the worship team return. John 11, verses 34 to 44. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Let's believe and see the glory of God. And I wonder if there's a Lazarus in the house today, one lying lifeless in a sepulcher, in need of the life-giving power of Jesus, or perhaps you've heard his call and you've come out of the tomb. Are you still bound? Bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, face wrapped with a cloth? It's time for you to be set free, loosed and let go. Jesus is here today to bring the dead back to life. Come out of the grave at the command of Jesus and be set free, for he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let the Martha that needs the Mary spirit added to her come. Let the Mary that needs the Martha spirit added to her come. Let the dead brother know the resurrection power of Jesus today. And let the ones in the midst of tough circumstances know that Jesus cares, and that Jesus loves them, and that Jesus is occupied with and interested in their problem. That good part Let's stand in the Lord's house today.